$15 million US dollars stolen in a Toronto gold heist. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Canadian police are investigating a gold heist at Toronto Pearson International Airport. The airport is often used to ship gold mined in Ontario province. The gold and other valuables were thought to be stolen from a cargo holding facility. Brian Lilly, a columnist for the Toronto Sun newspaper, broke the story. He's been speaking to Bola Massaro.
So it's banknotes as well as gold. And it arrived on Monday evening, Toronto time. The police wouldn't say where the flight was coming from, but they did say that it landed and then they offloaded the cargo. It went from the plane into a cargo holding warehouse. Now, one air cargo shipping container filled with gold and banknotes that somehow slipped out. And I'm told it was, you know, just part of the shipment that came in. The police aren't saying how. My sources are saying there was inside help. But even that doesn't make sense to people that I've spoken with who work in this industry, who know this industry, who understand what normally goes into this sort of thing.
What are the police saying about this? Because as you've established, there has to be security. There should have been security. What are the police saying about how these people got away with it and who these thieves are?
They're saying very little. You know, it happened on Monday. I reported it Thursday at noon, Toronto time, heading into Friday. Now, they still wouldn't have said anything. You know, I've since, a memo was shared with me saying which bank and which airline were involved. And neither one of those companies wanted to speak.
Who are the police pointing their finger at? Are they saying anybody is suspected?
Well, I've had one source tell me that absolutely they're looking at organized crime. And then another said, that's ridiculous. Who would say such things? So, you know, even within the police, I'm not sure that one side's talking to the other. But, you know, for this type of theft to happen, it would have to be somebody that had, as they say, cased the joint, knew what was happening, knew when it was happening, how it was happening, and how to get that. You know, we're not talking a small box. It wasn't a suitcase. We're talking about an air freight container that's at least 5 or 6 feet square.
Brian Lilly, a columnist for the Toronto Sun newspaper there. Now, let's do the numbers. European stocks are struggling a bit after a bunch of mixed corporate earnings, and Asian stocks sank today with investors thinking the Fed might just hike interest rates again. Now, let's go from finance to fine dining in space. How would you feel about floating through the stratosphere, admiring the stars up close with the finest selections of French food and wine? That is the ultimate aim of one French company, the latest firm to announce its space tourism offering. So what will it look like? The BBC's Chantal Hartle explains.
Europe must raise its game or risk falling behind in the space race. That was the recent warning by the European Space Agency. Now, a Toulouse-based company called Zefalto thinks it has the answer. In 2 years' time, it hopes to take people on an 11.5-hour round trip to the edge of space, rising 25 kilometres into the stratosphere in a capsule attached to a helium balloon. Its founder, Vincent Faré d'Astier, explains what the experience will look like.
The concept of Zefalto stemmed from a dream. The idea is to approach the stars as if you're on a sailboat. The balloon will slowly rise 25 kilometres in an hour and a half, and then the passengers will see the curves of the planet plunge into the darkness of space. They'll be able to see the stars, the sunrise, from the stratosphere, with around 98% of the atmosphere below them.
Zefalto says its Michelin star cuisine and luxury interior design are what sets it apart from other space tourism ventures. It hasn't released a menu just yet.
That report by Chantal Hartle.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by Palo Alto Networks. Palo Alto Networks delivers what's next in cybersecurity innovation to protect today's digital way of life. Learn more at paloaltonetworks.com. And by Fidelity. A dedicated Fidelity advisor can help create a wealth plan for a full financial picture. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
It's an expensive time in Egypt, with millions of Muslims celebrating Eid this weekend as the month of Ramadan comes to an end. The economy there has come under huge pressure in the past year. Our Middle East correspondent Yolanda Nell has been looking at the reasons for Egypt's economic troubles.
Among shoppers in this busy Giza market, all the talk is about skyrocketing prices. The currency was recently devalued, and that's pushed up the cost of food imports. Inflation has soared, especially for food. A poultry seller says his chickens are now two or three times more expensive than a year ago, and he knows his customers can't afford the costs.
They must go down whether we like it or not. People only have so much capacity. There are other necessities in life, like education and healthcare. It's not just food, food, food.
President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi often blames Egypt's economic woes on the turmoil which followed the 2011 uprising and rapid population growth. He also stresses the blows dealt by COVID-19, which hurt tourism in particular, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Egypt, a major importer of wheat, relied on both countries for supplies, which were badly disrupted.
I admit it's the reality we live in. Needless to say, we are not the reason behind it. But there is a huge burden on every family and every citizen as a result of the high prices.
In her kitchen in Giza, Wydad is cooking green beans in a tomato sauce for her grandchildren. She can't afford to serve the traditional dish with meat. She says that even basic staples like foul and tamir, made of imported fava beans, are now luxury items.
I'll cook lentil soup. What can I do? Even lentils are expensive.
The BBC's Yolanda Nell reporting. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dobbers-Hansen for producing. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by Amazon Business. From small business to big enterprise and everything in between, Amazon Business helps simplify the supplies buying process. Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying. And by The Uncertain Hour, investigates the privatization of welfare and how for-profit companies cash in on public benefits. Listen to The Uncertain Hour wherever you get your podcasts. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.